Pense à cover du bestia, creeper sind die Bedeutza, petite lam pap nebel, best medel moment. Now, in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, there is a complete absence of everything material. There are no modes of material nature. There's no goodness, there's no passion, there's no ignorance, there's no false ego. There is only a loving connection with Krishna. In the spiritual world, everything is alive. Everything is effulgent. There is no effect of material time. Time serves Krishna. Here in the material world, time ruins all of our plans. But in the spiritual world, time serves Krishna completely. That means it facilitates Krishna's pastimes. Every person in the spiritual world simply loves Krishna. There is no selfishness. Not the slightest tinge of selfishness. There is not the slightest tinge of lust, anger, greed, illusion. Everyone is simply and only in love with Krishna. And this is the perfection of existence. Because Krishna is He is the Lila Purushottam. He is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. In connection with Krishna, we become complete. And even though we are tiny and insignificant, then Krishna is an ocean of ecstasy. 100 oceans of ecstasy, and we are like a small drop trying to find some happiness. So how can the drop possess the qualities or the quantity of the ocean? It cannot. But in contact with the ocean, the ability of the drop raises to the capacity of the ocean. So what I mean to say is that when the tiny soul, us, awakens our relationship with Krishna, then our capacity, by Krishna's grace, our capacity to have pleasure increases to the level of Krishna. Indeed, in Vrindavan, it even surpasses Krishna's level. The mysteries of Vrindavan. But one has to be 100% in love with Krishna to be there. There is nothing stopping us from being with Krishna, except on one side, material impurity, material selfishness, material desires, and the other side, lack of love for Krishna. Positive, the removal of the negative has to be there, but that's not sufficient. It is necessary, but not sufficient. Purity means the absence of impurity. But in addition to the no impurities being in the heart, there also has to be positive, has to be love for Krishna, prema bhakti. That has to be present. So in this particular pastime, especially the part we're going to read today, if Krishna allows, it shows one thing. It shows purity of love. There's a pastime that goes on, and where we left in the last class, Krishna had climbed the tree, and with his young boyfriends present, very young, 3-4 years old, toddlers, he had stolen the clothes of the gopis, and they were in the water, and the weather was cold. It was right at the end of the month of the winter season, and the water was so cold, and Krishna had the clothes of the gopis. Now, when the mundane mind, the materialistic, self-centered mind controlled by the modes of passion, ignorance, and even goodness, context, this pastime, it seems so peculiar. How is it possible that God is engaging in these type of activities? How is it possible? But what we're trying to do when we think like that is take our consciousness and say, well, my concept of God is like this. I have a concept of God, and then I have my consciousness, and I'm taking my consciousness and imposing it on what I think God is. If I was to be acting in this way, I know it would be motivating me. So when Krishna is acting in that way, I can just imagine what's motivating him, and what to speak of having to put these type of activities in a holy book and glorifying them. What is this religion? Who is your God that you're worshipping? This is the way that the mind starts reacting. Is this possible? Who are we worshipping here? But this has nothing at all to do with the material world. This is the transcendental world, which is fully effulgent and fully pure, and we're getting a glimpse of it. Practically speaking, we cannot see it because we have material consciousness, but we're getting a glimpse of what purity is like. Purity, love, purity and love, it needs a field of activities to be manifested in. If you love someone, there is action involved. The actions of love in the spiritual world are called lila. These are the pastimes, and the purpose of the pastime is so that rasa, or the sweet taste, the ecstatic taste, is relished by Krishna and his devotees. So these are the pastimes where rasa is relished. Deepest, most intimate pastimes. How Krishna is dealing with his most intimate devotees, those devotees who love him so completely. So what we can do, what we should do, is just listen and understand that this is most wonderful. This is the manifestation of love. Should not approach it with the material mind. We should take our material minds and place it on the place back here where we have our shoes, or in the front where we have our shoes. Either way, we should just take our minds and put them outside for a while, because they cannot penetrate into these super excellent loving pastimes of Krishna in Braja. So, and there's a few comments by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Mostly we'll read the comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this. Some of them are very, very, very cute and very, very sweet. And they just show the intimacy of exchange, of verbal exchanges of Krishna, and how Krishna is captivating the hearts of the gopis with his cleverness. And remember, he's the most beautiful, beautiful boy. And everyone in Vrindavan loves him. He's so all attractively beautiful. And there he is, early, early in the morning, sitting on the branch of a tree with all the clothes of the gopis there. They're just looking very, very, very charming. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he'll explain more of the dialogue here in the Bhagavatam. There's some dialogue. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will expand this and explain more. But also, in a few brief comments, he explains some very deep truths. about spiritual life, about spiritual love, and about Goloka Vrindavan. So the last verse we read was the 10th verse. And Krishna said, there he is, sitting in the tree with all the clothes of the gopis. And he said, and there they are, innocently bathing. And why are they bathing? Early in the morning, in the month of the coldest month, because, and they're performing austerities because they want to have Krishna as their husband. They're unmarried. And they love Krishna with full innocence and love. They love Krishna. He's their village boy. He's the hero of the village. So Krishna says, my dear girls, first he laughed loudly. He laughed. There they are in the cold water, and Krishna is up in the tree. And the first thing he does, he laughs loudly. Why does he laugh loudly? Because they'll turn around. And when they turn around, they see this charming, beautiful boy in the tree with their clothes. My dear girls, he said, you may each come here as you wish and take back your garments. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not joking with you, since I see you're fatigued from executing austere vows. That was the last verse we read. Who else? You know, what is the word? What does audacious mean? Yeah, yes, that's quite good. Is there a Hindi word for that? Huh?
Audacious.
Yes. Yes, but anyway, disrespectfully bold. And there Krishna is. And he continues. He says, I have never before spoken a lie. Not Krishna. He would never speak, nor would he ever steal neither butter nor the clothes of the gopis. And these boys here, they know it. They're the witnesses to my high character. These 3 and 4 year old toddlers. Therefore, O slender waisted girls, please come forward either one by one or all together and pick out your clothes. This is a different concept of God. Actually speaking, practically speaking, there is no concept of God outside of the Vaishnava philosophy. There is, practically speaking, honestly speaking, unfortunately speaking, there is no concept of God. And most religious concepts of God are just that. They're not there. They're nothing. And they don't have problems, even the great religions of the world, of quickly turning to Buddhism to get their concept of God. And that's no concept of God. This is spectacular. It is amazing. And that is what the amazing Lord said. You can either come one by one or all together. You can get your clothes. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur expands the dialogue. The gopis replied to Krishna, because you are a liar, Krishna has said that I always tell the truth. So they're saying you're a liar. We don't believe your promise. Krishna bit his tongue while saying. So this is part of Indian culture. When you bite your tongue, this has a meaning to it. It's not just to stop yourself from talking. What is this? He bit his tongue while saying, I have never told any lies from birth till now. Mother, I've not stolen any butter. These boys are making politics against me. We had an argument this morning, and even Balaram has taken their side. And if you think I've stolen butter, you can look in my mouth. And Mother Yasoda looks in Krishna's mouth. She sees the entire universe.
But I never tell any lies. Not since my birth. I have not on any occasion to lie. What is the proof that I lie? These young boys are the witnesses. They are reliable as witnesses because they naturally report whatever they see. Because boys are innocent, he's saying. And the gopis make a suggestion. From far away, please throw the clothes to us in the water. Or just have the young boys bring them here. And Krishna replies, I am unable to discern one woman's clothes from another. How then can I throw them to you? Being a very religious person, I do not touch the possessions of others, even with my fingernails. Therefore, because you know you could pick something up like this. He's so naughty. Therefore, you must come here. Identify your own clothes and take them. It is my firm rule not to touch, take, or give things of others, give away things of others. And the gopis say, because you are so impudent, you can embarrass us. Due to this fear and the fact that we are respectable women, we will not come near you. Krishna says, one of the young girls amongst you can come forward. If she is not embarrassed and returns to you, then others can come one by one. Or you can all come together. If you come as a group, it will be impossible to embarrass you. The head is the topmost part of the body, and it is very beautiful. So please show me your heads. And if you can show your heads, then you should not be embarrassed to show me other beautiful limbs, including your beautiful slender waists. The next verse. Seeing how Krishna was joking with them, his joking behavior, tasya tad phalitam drisva, seeing Krishna's joking behavior, gopya prema pariplutaha, fully immersed, they were immersed in the Yamuna, but actually they were fully immersed in love, pure love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person whom universes emanate from his skin holes. They were in love with him. They had reached the perfection of the perfection of the perfection of existence. Or they were nitya siddha. They were always on that level. But this is the highest perfection. Vridita, embarrassed, preksha, cha ananyam, embarrassed and glancing at one another, the gopis, jata hasa nirniryayu, they began to laugh and giggle, but they would not come out of the water. Translation, seeing how Krishna was joking with them, the gopis became fully immersed in love for him. And as they glanced at each other, they began to laugh and joke amongst themselves, even in their embarrassment. But still they did not come out of the water. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is the purport here, he explains this verse as follows. The gopis were from most respectable families, and they might have argued with Krishna. Why don't you simply leave our clothes on the bank of the river and go away? Krishna might have replied. But there are so many of you that some of you girls might take clothes belonging to another. Because first they said, you go away and we'll take the clothes. And Krishna said, no. You might take the clothes of others. And they said, so here, now they're saying, you just leave the clothes and we'll get it. Gopis would reply, we are honest and never steal anything. We never touch another's property. Then Krishna would say, if that's true, then simply come and get your clothes. What's the difficulty? When the gopis saw Krishna's determination, this is Vishwanath's comment, they were filled with loving ecstasy. Although embarrassed, they were overjoyed to receive such attention from Krishna because they had been thinking, oh, only if we could have Krishna as our husband. Only if we can have Krishna as our husband. That is all we want. They were performing their vrata to have Krishna as their husband. And Krishna was now reciprocating with them and showing that he had attraction for them. They were overjoyed to receive such attention from Krishna. He was joking with them as if they were his wives or girlfriends. And the gopis' only desire was to achieve such a relationship with him. At the same time, they were embarrassed to be seen naked by him. But still they could not help laughing at his joking words and even began to joke amongst themselves, one gopi urging another, "Go ahead, you go first, and let's see if Krishna plays any tricks on you. Then we will go later." So they were teasing each other that way, but inside they were just simply immersed in love for Krishna. Text 13. As Sri Govinda spoke to the gopis in this way, his joking words completely captivated their minds. Submerged up to their necks in the cold water, they began to shiver. Their bodies began to shake due to the cold water. Thus they addressed him as follows. Vishwanath Chakravarti is the purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example of joking between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna says, "O bird-like girls, if you do not come here, then with these garments caught in the branches, I will make a swing in a hammock. I need to lie down, and since I have spent the entire night awake, I am now becoming sleepy." And there they are in the water, cold, cold water, shivering. Gopis, "Our dear coward boy, your cows, greedy for grass, must have gone into a cave, so you must go quickly there to herd them back on the proper path." Krishna, "Come now, my dear cowherd girls. You must quickly go from here to Braj and perform your household duties. Don't become a disturbance to your parents and other elders." They say to Krishna, "Oh, don't you have something to do right now? You should be taking care of the cows. Go, take care of the cows." And Krishna responds, "You have something to do right now. You should go perform your household duties. Don't disturb your parents by not showing up. You should go." And the gopis say, "Our dear Krishna, we will not go home for an entire month. For it is by the order of our parents and other elders that we are executing this vow of fasting, the Katyayini Vrat." Krishna, "My dear austere ladies, I too, by the strength of seeing you, have now developed a surprising mood of detachment from family life. I wish to stay here for a month and execute the vow of dwelling in the clouds. I'm going to stay here in the tree, and you can stay in the cold water for a month. And if you show mercy to me, I can come down from here and observe the vow of fasting in your company." The gopis were completely captivated by Krishna's joking words, but out of shyness, they submerged themselves in the water up to their necks, and shaking from the cold, they addressed Krishna as follows. So the next verse. So there's two conflicting emotions going on in the gopis, and that is what is churning them. On one hand, they're completely in love with Krishna. On the other hand, they're completely embarrassed, and this is all on the spiritual platform. They're completely embarrassed and can't come out of the water. On the other hand, they love Krishna completely. And these different emotions are churning within them. And the gopi said, "Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda and that you are honored by everyone in Braja. You are also very dear to us," that tried to pacify him and flatter him. "Now please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water." In this verse, the gopis tried to satisfy Krishna by using one of the four diplomatic principles known as sama, pacification. There's sama, beda, danda, and one other one. Danda means dan means you give payoff, bribery, charity. Yes, give wealth. Oh, danda. And what was the third one?
Sandam. Dham is vibrating.
Yes.
Create difference.
Some politics in between. So here is first Sam. Pacification. The Gopi said, you are born in a cultured family. Like flattery. You are born in a cultured family, so you should not do unworthy activities. Do not act unjustly. Krishna says, it is obvious that you do not respect me, for you're not afraid of calling me bad names. Gopis, we do not know any place, other place of Braja, but we know you, the son of King Nanda. Furthermore, you are praised and loved by all the Brajvasis. Krishna says, oh foolish women, if I'm a king's son, then what wrong can I do? If you say the king's son should not do any wrong action, then I say if I'm doing wrong, how can I be praised and loved by everyone in Braj? It is not possible to praise or love a wrongdoer. Gopis, true, we simple women are ignorant of how to speak. Please forgive us, therefore, and give us our clothes. We are shivering with cold. With these words, the Brajakumaris invoke Krishna's mercy. Text 15. Now it's going to go for Sama and some Veda, trying to make some politics of difference. Shyamasundaram te dasyam. Shyamasundara te dasyam. Oh, Shyamasundara, we are your maidservants. Karavama tavoditaham. We shall do whatever you speak. Vashamsi, our clothing, dharmagya. Dehi, please give us our clothing, O knower of religion. No ched ragye bravami he. Indeed, if you don't do so, we shall tell the king on you. So the translation here. O Shyamasundara, we are your maidservants and must do whatever you say. This is flattery. But give us back our clothing. You know what the religious principles are, and if you don't give us our clothing, we will have to tell the king. Please, either Kamsa or Nanda Maharaj, either one. I'll read some of the comment here. The gopis say, listen up, we being your maidservants will carry out your word. The implication is, it is only fitting for us to have an attitude of service to you, who are the king. The gopis continued, moreover, because you are very beautiful, we have to become your servants. And thus, under the guise of being servants, we will offer our very selves to you. Then the gopis employed the diplomatic principle known as bade, process of dividing, by using rough language to weaken Krishna, threaten him. The gopis said, O knower of religious principles, dharmakya, you will be acting irreligiously if you steal the wealth of chastity from women and see them naked. And seeing that it was futile to instill fear of irreligion in Krishna, the gopis then resorted to threats to instill fear. If you do not give us our clothing, we will complain to the king. Either Nanda or Kamsa, we will tell your father, King comes on you. 16. And they're in the water shivering. And Krishna's on the tree, looking very beautiful with their clothes. 16. The Supreme Personality of God had said, if you girls are actually my maidservants, as you said, and if you will really do what I say, then come here with your innocent smiles and let each girl pick out her clothes. And if you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you. And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do? A short purport here, for Prabhupada's comment. When the gopis saw that Krishna was strong and determined, they had no alternative but to abide by his order. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Shortcoming. The gopis have to be
being defeated by their own words, because they said, "We're your maidservants, be compassionate to us, give us our clothes." And Krishna replied, "You say you're my maidservants, then do what I say. Come out of the water and get your clothes." So after being defeated by their own words, the gopis stood there in the water, the cold water. They could not say anything. They were speechless. And Krishna then spoke, "We will now test the truthfulness of your words. If you are really my servants, then you will do whatever I say. Please come forward with a smile and take your clothes. If you're not true to your words and fail this test of Dharma," because they called him Dharmagya, "you are the knower of Dharma." So Krishna turns it on them completely, saying, well, a dharmic person is one who says something and keeps his words. So I know what Dharma is, and you just said you were my maidservant. So now I will test your Dharma by seeing if you'll do what I say. Come and get your clothes. And if you don't, I will not return your clothes. And there they are in the water. 17. Then, shivering from the painful cold, all the young girls rose up out of the water, covering the lower parts of their bodies with their hands. Purport. The gopis had assured Krishna that they were his eternal servants and would do whatever he said. And thus, they were now defeated by their own words. If they delay any longer, they thought, some other man might come along, and this would be unbearable to them. Another man would see them in this situation. The gopis loved Krishna so much that even in that awkward situation, their attachment to him was increasing more and more. This is the unique example of the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. Their love for Krishna was so complete, so full. It was everything. There is nothing that could happen that would diminish it. Everything would simply increase it. And Krishna, of course, is the supreme lovable object. Thus, because Krishna, they loved Krishna so much that even in that awkward situation, their attachment to him was increasing more and more. Practically speaking, Krishna was torturing them. And simply their love increased. And they were very eager to stay in his company. Thus, they did not even consider drowning themselves in the river because of this embarrassing situation. They concluded that they could do nothing but go forward to their beloved Krishna, putting aside their embarrassment. So thus, the gopis assured each other that there was no alternative. They rose up out of the water to meet him. When the Supreme Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, so they surrendered. They came out of the water without clothes on and still so cold. When Krishna saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, he was satisfied by their pure loving affection. In other words, their love for him overcame their embarrassment. It was so powerful, their love for him. He was satisfied by their pure loving affection. Putting their clothes on his shoulder, the Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection. Here's Prabhupada's. Prabhupada has a comment that they've taken from the Krishna book. The gopis' simple presentation was so pure that Lord Krishna immediately became pleased with them. All the unmarried gopis who prayed to Katyayini to have Krishna as their husband were thus satisfied. A woman cannot be naked before any male except her husband. The unmarried gopis desired Krishna as their husband, and he fulfilled their desire in this way. For aristocratic girls like the gopis, standing naked before a young boy was worse than death, and yet they decided to give up everything for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. He wanted to see the power of their love for him. and he was completely satisfied by their unalloyed devotion.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments.
Krishna became very satisfied to see the pure unalloyed love, Shuddha Bhav, of the gopis, who on his order had given up all shyness. They were ready to do anything to please him. Which was worse than death for those respectable girls. Krishna put the gopis' clothing on his shoulder and agreed to smell the fragrance of their bodies that was lingering on the clothes. By doing this, Krishna was showing his love for the gopis. They were loving him completely, and he was loving them completely. Krishna thought, out of love for me, these gopis have done something which is very difficult for any woman. But there remains something even more difficult, and I wonder if they can do it. Now let me test the power of their love. So Krishna decided to push further. Krishna then affectionately and with great boldness advised the gopis, O gopis, you have said that you are my servants and that you will follow my words. Now I'm going to test you. If you come out of the water and stand before me, I will give you your clothing along with my body, my mind, and my soul. So Krishna, on one level, he's controlling everything. And when the exalted souls reciprocate with Krishna and act for Krishna's pleasure, how does Krishna reciprocate with them? He gives himself completely to them. Napariyaham, he's unable to repay them the quality of their love. Because he is Bahunishta, they are Ekanishta. They're all focused on Krishna, and Krishna is focused on many devotees. He cannot reciprocate. He remains in debt to his devotee. Because the devotees, out of love for Krishna, they don't consider anything but Krishna's pleasure. They don't consider anything but Krishna's pleasure. Not a slightest consideration of what will please me. What will please Krishna? This quality of love. This is Goloka Vrindavan love. And it conquers Krishna completely. And that is why Vrindavan is so sweet. Because it is filled with that kind of love. Lord Krishna said, now he's going to push still further. You girls bathe naked while executing your vow, and this is certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, you should offer your obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments. Purport. Krishna wanted to see the full surrender of the gopis, and thus he ordered them to offer obeisances with their palms joined above their heads. Because when Krishna said, first offer obeisances, first thing they did was bow their head like this, but they were covering their bodies. They offered obeisances. They said, no, that's not sufficient. You have to pranam. So they put their hands together, but that still they covered their bodies with that. And Krishna said, no. You have to put your hands to your head. And anyway, Garga Muni said that I was no different from Narayan. So therefore, by pleasing me, your offense will, offering your obeisances to me and facing me, then your offense will be removed because I'm not different from Narayan. So in this way, Krishna was completely exploiting them, practically speaking. He was pushing their love to see. if they would just do anything to please him. And the answer was this unparalleled example of the Braja Gopis who would do anything to please Krishna. Everything and anything. We should not fool, the purport here continues, we should not foolishly think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary lusty boy enjoying the naked beauty of the gopis. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, and he was acting to fulfill the loving desire of the young cowherd girls of Vrindavan. In this world, we would certainly become lusty in a situation like this, but to compare ourselves to God is a great offense. And because of this offense, we will not be able to understand Krishna's transcendental position, for we will wrongly take him to be a materially conditioned like ourselves. To lose transcendental sight of Krishna is certainly a great disaster for one trying to relish the bliss of the absolute truth. Thus, 20, the young girls of Vrindavan, considering what Lord Achyuta had told them, accepted that they had suffered a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. Krishna told them they had committed offense. They said, oh yes, we must have committed an offense. But they still desired to successfully complete their vow because they desired to have Krishna as their husband. And since Lord Krishna is himself the ultimate result of all pious activity, they offered their obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. We'll read some of the purport here. The transcendental position of Krishna consciousness is clearly described here. The gopis decided that it was better to renounce their so-called family tradition and traditional morality and simply surrender unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. This does not mean that the Krishna consciousness movement advocates immoral activities. In fact, the devotees of ISKCON practice the highest standard of restraint and morality. But at the same time, we recognize the transcendental position of Krishna. Lord Krishna is God and therefore has no material desire to enjoy young girls and sexual affairs. As will be seen in this chapter, Lord Krishna was not at all attracted to enjoying the gopis. Rather, he was attracted to their love and wanted to satisfy them. I'm going to skip a little of the purport and then continue. 500 years ago, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who practiced strict celibacy throughout his student life and at the age of 24 took sannyas, a lifelong vow of celibacy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rigidly avoided contact with women in order to carry out his vow of loving service to Krishna. When Krishna personally appeared 5,000 years ago, he exhibited these wonderful pastimes which attract our attention. We should not become envious or shocked when we hear that God can perform such pastimes. Our shock is due to our ignorance, because if we tried to perform these activities, our bodies would be afflicted by lust. Lord Krishna, however, is the Supreme Absolute Truth and is therefore never disturbed by any material desire whatsoever. Thus, this incident in which the gopis gave up normal standards of morality and raised their hands to their heads, bowed down in compliance with Krishna's order, is an example of pure devotional surrender and not a discrepancy in religious principles. In fact, the gopis' surrender is the perfection of all religion, as Srila Prabhupada describes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from Prabhupada. The gopis were all simple souls, and whatever Krishna said, they took to be true. In order to be freed from the wrath of Varunadev, as well as to fulfill the desired end of their vows, and ultimately to please their worshipable Lord Krishna, they immediately abided by his order. Thus they became the greatest lovers of Krishna and his most obedient servitors. Nothing can compare to the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Actually, the gopis did not care for Varuna or any other demigod. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. Seeing them bowed down like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, gave them back their garments, feeling compassionate towards them, and satisfied by their acts.
Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to 21. Short comment. Krishna then gave them back their garments. He was pleased that they had done as he had wished.
Although the gopis had been thoroughly cheated, deprived of their modesty, ridiculed, and made to act just like toy dolls, and although their clothing had been stolen, they did not feel at all inimical towards Sri Krishna. Rather, they were simply joyful to have had this opportunity to associate with their beloved. Short comment by Prabhupada here from the Krishna book. This attitude of the gopis is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he prays, "My dear Lord Krishna, you may embrace me or trample me under your feet, or you may make me brokenhearted by never being present before me. Whatever you like, you can do, because you have complete freedom to act. But in spite of all your dealings, you are my Lord eternally, and I have no other worshipable object." This is the attitude of the gopis towards Krishna.
Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur.
So this is love. This is love to the highest level without a tinge of Atma Indriya Priti. There is no desire for sense enjoyment. It is just to please the beloved.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. And there's something that really struck me right at the end of his comment. I'll tell you when we get there. It's very short, but it's very striking.
Even though the gopis were treated contemptuously, they still acted favorably towards their beloved by doing what would have been impossible for others to do. And astonishingly, the gopis became blissful by this. The gopis had been deceived to the extreme by Krishna's words criticizing their nakedness. After forcing them to give up their modesty, Krishna mocked them, insisting that they come get their clothing. He made the Brajakumaris dance like puppets. When Krishna said, "I'm telling the truth, this is not a joke," the gopis did not find fault in him, nor did they criticize Krishna when he told them to fold their hands above their heads as atonement. Though all this was done to them, the gopis felt blissful because they got to meet their beloved, their Priya. They actually became even more attached to Krishna for doing all these things. And this little one sentence at the end. The conclusion is that when one is considered dear, Priya, whatever that dear one does is experienced with pleasure, but as pleasure, experienced with pleasure, even if it gives pain. So love, that is the nature of love. And that is what is absent in this world. And that is what everyone is longing for. But everyone is longing that everyone should love me. No matter what I do to them, they should just be happy because it's me. As if I'm the object, the proper object of love for the world or anyone. But here, or as what the Krishna Consciousness Movement wishes to tell the world is that Krishna is the natural object of love for everyone. God, Parameshwar, Param Brahma, but Krishna, Shyamasunda, Madhava. He is the natural object of love for everyone. And when one loves Krishna, Vishwapona Sukhayate, even this universe becomes the most pleasurable place because one is experiencing Krishna and Krishna's mercy in everything that happens. But without love for Krishna, this is not possible. You cannot imitate. You can make believe. make believe. It can't spring from the intellectual platform. Oh, this is a good way to think. It springs from love for Krishna, which is completely transcendental. It is out of this world. It is from the spiritual world. It is of the spiritual world. And it is from the spiritual. The gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved. This is text 23. And thus they became captivated by him. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move. They did not run away. They simply remained where they were, shyly glancing at him. By association with their beloved Krishna, the gopis had become more attached to him than ever, because they were praying the whole month, performing austerities. Please, oh, this is, oh, Yoga Maya, practically, because this is not Durga Devi of the material world they were praying to. They were praying to, the spiritual deity. They were praying for a whole month, oh, Krishna, please give us Krishna, our beloved Krishna. And then at the end of the month, Krishna came and then tricked them. It gave them just what they wanted, actually, and their love just simply overflowed its banks, and they could not leave. So by association with the beloved Krishna, the gopis had become more attached to him than ever. Just as Krishna had stolen their clothes, he had also stolen their minds and their love, because his behavior is so captivating. He had taken their minds and they could not leave. The gopis interpreted the whole incident as proof that Krishna was also attached to them. Otherwise, why would he have gone to the trouble of playing with them in this way? Because they thought that Krishna was now attached to them. They glanced at him with shyness. And being stunned by the rising of their ecstatic love, they could not move from where they stood. Krishna had overcome their shyness and forced them to come out of the water naked. But now, having dressed properly, they again became shy in his presence. In fact, this incident increased their humbleness before Krishna. They did not want Krishna to see them staring at him, but they cautiously took the opportunity to glance at the Lord. This is that comment. From Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. 24. Now, in 24, there is a prelude. The Supreme Lord understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vows. I want Krishna as my husband. That's what their vow was. The Lord also knew that the girls desired to touch his lotus feet. And thus, Lord Damodar, Krishna, spoke to them as follows. So that was 24. And 25, 26, and 27, Krishna is going to speak to them. He's going to tell them something wonderful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in 24, O topmost enjoyer of loving reciprocation. This is the gopi speaking. We have now obtained the fruit of our vow. Because after you have created this extraordinary fraud, and by that driven the very life air out of our bodies, then again by your grace we have become fully satisfied. What's more, by making us come out of the water, you have used various clever devices to insult us in every way. But then you have taken our garments on your own shoulders and have given them back to us, together with the crest jewel of your own heart, as expressed by the words you have spoken. In response to this, we can only give you our shy glances. Therefore, because we are simply foolish girls and cannot discern whether this is an offense against you or else it satisfies you, therefore you, who know perfectly well the differences of time, place, and candidate, please speak whatever you desire to say. And hearing that from you, then we will go to our homes.
Sukadev Goswami thus describes how the Lord, who is about to answer them, is all-knowing in all matters. By this one present verse, he says that, and subsequently the particular answer is stated in the three following verses. So now Krishna's going to tell the gopis what he thinks. 25, 26, and 27. Krishna said, "O saintly girls, I understood that your real motive in this austerity has been to worship me. That intent of yours is approved by me, and indeed it must come to pass. As you wish to worship me and serve me, it will come to pass." And they want to serve him as a wife or as a lover. Purport. Just as Krishna is free of all impure desires, so are the gopis. Their attempt to gain Krishna as their husband was therefore motivated not by a desire for personal sense gratification, but by their overwhelming desire to serve Krishna, to please him. Because of their intense love, the gopis did not see Krishna as God, but rather as the most wonderful boy in all creation. And being beautiful young girls, they desired only to please him by loving service. Lord Krishna understood the pure desire of the gopis and was thus satisfied. The Lord could certainly not be satisfied by ordinary lust, but he was moved by the intense loving devotion of the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. Here is the comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So in that first verse, Krishna said, "I understood why you worship me. It is approved by me, and your desire will be fulfilled because it is pure." Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, "O saintly girls, your motive, your desire was to worship me. To perform worship without any object in mind, with the purpose of generating happiness for me. And even though you have not stated this because of your shyness, I understand and approve of it," because they never told this to Krishna, but he knew what was in their minds and the purpose of their vows. "Because you lack duplicity, it must therefore come true, since such great souls as yourselves are intent simply upon my happiness, and because I myself am under the control of your love. Therefore, what indeed is impossible in such a case?" In this pastime, the Lord's potency of mercy has manifest herself extraordinarily upon the gopis by exhibiting her opulence to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who himself came under the control of their love and was fully absorbed in their pastimes, by revealing to them the arduous ritual of worship of Katyayani for the purpose of attaining him, and also by awarding the fruit of that vow. And the gopis, following Garga Rishi's words, "Narayana Sama," considered him as their own Narayan, and thus we should understand they knew him as such. Second verse of Krishna's. "The desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desires for sense gratification. Just as barley corns burned by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts." So important instructions in these verses. The word, comment here, purport here, the word maya avishita diyam are very significant here. Unless one has achieved an advanced degree of devotion, one cannot fix the mind and intelligence on Krishna, since Krishna is pure spiritual existence. Self-realization is a state not of desirelessness, but rather of purified desire, wherein one desires only the pleasure of Lord Krishna. The gopis were certainly attracted to Krishna in a mood of conjugal love, and yet, having fixed their mind, and indeed their entire existence completely on Krishna, their conjugal desire could never manifest as material lust. Rather, it became the most exalted form of love of Godhead ever seen within the universe.
Krishna of Chakravarti Thakur comments.
Bearing in mind that the most auspicious time for a first meeting with a lover is the night, the Lord speaks the verse beginning Yata. You have become successful in your endeavor implies, because of the Lord's engaging in human-like pastimes in order to increase His sweetness, that they are imagining that His perfection must be achieved. Well, the comment isn't. Let me read the other one over here. Maybe a little clearer. Bearing in mind that the most auspicious time for a lover's first tryst is the night, Krishna speaks like this to the gopis. Krishna says, O women, although you are perfected, you are siddha beings, you have taken the role of sadhakas, practitioners, as if they had to perform a katyayani vrata to achieve their desires. You have taken the role of sadhakas, practitioners, to increase the sweetness of my pastimes on earth. In the near future, you will enjoy with me and thus fulfill the purpose for which you undertook austerities in worshipping Durga, all pure women. And then the final verse, Sukadeva Goswami says, oh, so those were the 25, 26 and 27. And then Sukadeva Goswami completes this. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the young girls, their desire now fulfilled, could bring themselves only with great difficulty to return to the village of Braja, meditating all the while upon His lotus feet. The gopis' desire was fulfilled because Lord Krishna had agreed to act as their husband. A young girl can never spend the night with any man except her husband, and thus when Krishna agreed to engage the girls in the nocturnal rasa dance during the coming autumn season, in effect he was agreeing to reciprocate their love for him in the role as a husband. Vishwanath says, short comment, it was very difficult for the gopis to return to Braja because to their place in Vrindavan, because Krishna had already stolen their hearts, their eyes, and their other senses. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Very special pastimes. Very, very special. Although we're not really qualified to hear these things, perhaps we can get by Krishna's mercy, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the great acharyas such as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Maybe we can get a little glimpse of what Vrindavan is like, what love is like, what the love of the Braja Gopis is like. It's everything, everything for Krishna's pleasure. Everything for Krishna's pleasure. And by the purity of that love, by the uncompromising, fixed, ecstatic, full purity of that love, they actually conquer the unconquerable Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No time for questions, and that's a very, very simple one.
It just seems that it seems from that last time that the gopis didn't know that Krishna was attached to them until then.
Yes, it does seem that way. Well, you know how it is when you're young. You know, you glance out of the corner of your eye, and you don't know. Does he like me? Doesn't he like me? But it was clear at this point, because this world is a reflection of that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.